Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. 34 After, thanks very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure, as always. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Judith Glaser is here, ladies and gentlemen. She is our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of Creating We and the DNA of Leadership. She's our good friend, Judith. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It is so great to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you back.
Your energy is so good, I have to tell you. It's like having breakfast in the morning. The breakfast is better than Wheaties.
Well, I'm glad you enjoy being on the show. We always like having you here. Tell us, what's the news in the area of leadership?
There is a seismic shift going on, an inflection point that is going on right now that is so exciting. I've been writing my books for a couple of decades, and been always talking about leaders not being bullies, leaders really being compassionate human beings, and everybody struggles with that concept. But right now, everywhere I go, there's this whole thing around banning bullies that's absolutely incredible. I mean, people really talk about others, colleagues and peers, managing and monitoring each other in a way that was never before on this planet. It's fascinating.
And the bullies are not just on the playground, right?
You bet. They're not just on the playground.
Tell us about that.
Everywhere. Well, bullies come in all different forms. You know, bullies are people that make other people feel small, minimize others so that they can feel good and feel big. And early along, maybe in the playground, they learned that, you know, if they were tough and punched hard and scared people, which is a lot about intimidation, then people would start to look up to them, and all of a sudden they have power, and power is like you want it and you need it once you get it.
See, I get that for the 20th century when we had the dominator management model. I mean, I worked for a lot of dominators, and some of them dominated me, and some of them didn't dominate me, but they tried, you know. I'm not easily dominated, much to my wife's chagrin. She'd like me to be a little more passive. But in the 21st century, where the best and most successful managers, I think, follow a little more along the lines of the partnership management model, it's hard for me to believe that bullies can still get away with this.
Because they trigger fear, and they trigger, you know, anybody who has any little insecurity growing up with an authority figure, and many of us do, whether it's a parent or a teacher, you know, as soon as somebody plays out this power intimidation, it's at the visceral level, Jim. That's the thing. It really is. We're all hardwired. Did you ever go to a dog park or have a dog and watch that there are certain dogs that seem to bully others that are
alpha? Oh yeah, the alpha dogs and the others. Well, yeah. I guess the thing that Judith, you're a lot younger than me, but back in the 70s and 80s when I was coming up, actually very late 60s I should say too, that was back when job security was still a myth. Mm-hmm. And people believed it, and so you could bully people because they didn't want to lose their job. Today, people are just as likely to say, you know what, I was looking for a job when I found this one. I'll find another one.
Right.
So how do bullies get away with that? I don't get it.
Well, let me just confirm something about what you said in terms of the generational differences. The millennial generation, the younger kids that are growing up right now, they don't have the same kind of fears.
They're whippersnappers.
They're whippersnappers. And guess why? Before we had the Internet, before we had people communicating every day, the contact, constant contact, then your boss became, and the community you worked in, your team was your peer group, and you felt that if you did something to defy them, you'd be tossed out, and the fear of exclusion, which is the first gene in my DNA book, is so powerful that people would just become intimidated or buckle in, if they will, you know, commit to doing what they had to do. Today, kids get on the Internet, and they talk to each other, and they talk about their nasty bosses, and they post things everywhere, they blog about their bosses.
So the employees are becoming the bully, is that what you're saying?
Well, they're not taking the bully. But I want to ask you, how do you, you know, not get bullied? Because you said, you know, sometimes I don't get bullied like other people do. What do you do?
Well, I'm not easily intimidated by people. Mm-hmm. And so I just, you know, it's caused me some problems in the past. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't just roll over. I didn't let somebody bully me.
Yeah.
And but I do know that there were times when I took some stuff that I would rather not have taken, but I needed to take it. There were times when I was a consultant. You know, we all have customers, right, that we have to mm-hmm. take stuff from sometimes.
Yeah.
And when I was a consultant years ago, I had clients that I had to take stuff off of because I needed the business.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I didn't think that they were bullying. I guess I didn't allow myself to think that they were bullying me, because that would have made me feel bad. But I believed that they were just being difficult and I was putting up with them.
Right, right. And
so is there a difference?
Yeah, there's a huge difference. How we label people in our mind determines how we interact with them.
What you just said, though, how we label people in our minds, I want to talk about that when we come back. We'll do that right after these messages, folks. We're getting into some good stuff with our good friend, Judith Glazer. She and I will be right back. It's 22.
It seems so good to see you back again. How long has it been?
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for hanging around with us. Judith Glazer is our guest. She's the author of The DNA of Leadership, among other books. And she's our good friend and a member of our Brain Trust. She was named one of the best. Her book, We Inc. I'm sorry, Creating We, by the way. That book, Creating We, was named one of the best business books of 2005 by Business Book Review. As you know, we have no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show, only the best for my audience. Judith, as we went to the break, you were telling us about how we position people in our minds, how we label them in our minds. That has to do with whether people can bully us or not. Is that right?
Absolutely. When we decide that somebody's bullying us and we call them a bully in our mind at that moment, or if we decide that somebody is nasty and cheating us and whatever the labels are that we put, dishonest,
right,
that's how we react to that person. Now, that begins to create the story into which we move. In other words, we become the author producer of a movie once we label somebody. That's the cast of characters that we start to interact with.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is about relationship. And
mm-hmm.
once we've defined our relationship to someone, that starts the drama, and it gives it its direction. You can almost tell where it's going to go.
Hmm. Now, I'd like to differentiate between a bully who we work for and a bully who is a customer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah.
Because...
Go ahead. Keep going. Why?
Well, the only thing I'm saying is, you know, if I'm an employee of a bully, that's a different kind of a relationship than someone who's a bully. Let me put it this way: the same person who is a bully to their employees is
mm-hmm.
a bully to their vendors.
Yeah, right.
But there are two different relationships.
Mm-hmm.
The relationships are a little bit different, but for both people, the employee and the vendor, they both have to have difficulty dealing with this person.
And also there's risk in both cases. You know,
yes.
In both cases there's economic risk. You could lose a big client. And in the case of the boss, you could lose your job.
Right.
Yeah, so they both have high risk to them. However, you know, in both cases, and this is what I think is so interesting about bullies and what I'd like to help leaders learn how to do, which is if you sense that somebody is bullying you, the first time, if you can catch it the first time, and that's why it's so important to be able to feel that you have the right to catch it. If you catch it the first time and reestablish a relationship with that person, let them know that this isn't going to work and that they need to, that you and they need to work out differently. If you do it early along, then you have a chance of transforming a bully relationship into something. Because, first of all, bullies don't always want to be bullies. Bullies, you know, get caught into it as much as anybody else. And being respectful of each other feels really a lot better than the bully relationship. So if you can catch it early...
Well, I think that word respect is really critical in this kind of relationship, because I know that there have been customers in my life that would have liked to have been bullies, but because I sort of understood them, because I I didn't let them. I didn't push back at them necessarily. I just didn't let them get away with being a bully, because of I took the time to try to understand them.
Right.
Once that happened, there was a respect that was developed between us, and after that, they were the best customers I ever had.
That's right.
They were pushovers.
They end up being right. They end up being that. A lot of times, bullies have incredibly high standards. They want people to do something. They'll do it over and over and over again until it's right. And many of us think that we've hit the level of perfection we need to. And bullies sometimes are those people that hold standards higher than what we're used to. And so we end up calling them bullies when, in some ways, if that's the kind of bully they are, they're pushing us to get to do better.
And at that moment, though, the scenario you're talking about there, Judith, I actually don't agree to call them bullies.
Okay.
See, because I think if someone is being reasonable but tough, mm-hmm. and helping you to seek excellence without being abusive or mean or anything like that, I don't consider that to be a bully.
I consider that
person's probably a mentor.
Let me give you an example, however, because I believed what you believed, what you just said, until being in coaching now for 27 years, have hit a couple people that have that on the surface profile. One of the Verizon leaders that I worked with got rated as number 7, which is the lowest of all the people reporting to the CEO. He interviewed 13 people, and I became his coach. How, I don't know. And he had the profile you just talked about, which is that he set high standards, he pushed people to do better. At least in his mind, that's how he described himself.
Right.
The experience on the other side was there were 4 direct reports to him. 1 ended up in the hospital with a heart attack. 3 of them went to HR and asked to leave the department. And when we did a deconstruction of what was going on, and there were conversations with this leader, he had no empathy. You talked about support and mentoring. He did not do any of that.
No, that is a bully. That's what I say when I use the term mean and abusive. That kind of a guy is mean and abusive.
Yep. However, it took me 3 months for him to realize that this driving behavior that he had. He said, "I'm a high performing leader. These people just aren't performing."
That's his excuse.
That's his excuse, right? Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So the question, folks, for you out there, small business owners, is not so much you know we're not going through this for you to say, "Oh yeah, I remember when I had a boss like that," or "Yeah, I know about customers like that." The question is, do any of your employees ever think this about you? Mm. And so you have to learn how to differentiate between setting high standards and seeking excellence, and how you treat people as you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you communicating to them, right, Judith? Are you letting them know the reason I'm being a little tough on you right now is because I want you to get better, not because I'm just being mean to you?
Right. And even the words, I'm starting to introduce to leaders 2 different words, candor and caring, as a magic
candor
formula.
Candor and caring.
We'll talk
about that right after these messages. Right back with our good friend Judith Glazier. She is the author of The DNA of Leadership and Creating We. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Karen Glazer. Judith Glazer. Karen was the previous lady. This is Judith Glazer. I've said her name 3 times already. Why would I do that? Judith E. Glazer, ladies and gentlemen. Glaser. That's the first mistake I've ever made, Judith. How could
wow.
I don't? That's amazing. You were here the first time I ever made a mistake.
Oh my God!
And she's the author.
I knew you were perfect.
Judith, don't tell my wife. Judith is the author of The DNA of Leadership, also We Inc., an award-winning book. And Judith, tell us where these books are available. Tell us about your website, please.
Okay, our website is www.creatingwe.com, and you can click on the homepage, and both books are there, and you can click to them and go buy them on Amazon. They were out in hardback. Now they're both out in paperback.
All right.
And they're found at every business, every great bookstore.
Judith, is there a goose in your life now?
Gregory. I have such a love for Gregory.
Gregory the Goose.
Yes.
Tell us about Gregory.
Okay. In the process of trying to help leaders understand about what we're talking about, which is not being a bully, being a great leader, one morning, in fact, it was, I don't know if I told you, I had breast cancer. You know that, right?
I don't think I knew that.
You did know that.
I did not know that. When was this?
September 11th, 2001, at the same time the World Trade Center was being attacked.
Bless your heart.
I was being diagnosed. So I thank God it's 5-6 years later. I am through it, which is wonderful. But during my chemo experience, I couldn't write my books because you can't. You get chemo brain. And in one morning, out in the shower, out popped this goose who wanted to be born. And somehow I could write about the goose. I couldn't write about these intellectual things. And I wrote a little
book. It's amazing how creativity won't be suppressed.
It won't be suppressed is right. And he was just born beautiful. And we did a little book. And about 6 months ago, one of my colleagues said, is there anything that you'd like to animate or put into a film that you want to speak to leaders about? And Gregory just became, he's being born this week on DVD.
I'll be darned.
Came to life, and it's called The Leadership Secret of Gregory Goose. And what's so cool about it is, you see, Gregory starts out, first day, new job, now what? He's become CEO, and people are looking in the door trying to figure out, okay, what are you going to tell us to do now, boss? And he says, now what? And he starts to reflect on all the leaders he knew and all the things that he's learned about the power rules, because he thinks leadership is power. And he thinks about strutting and pecking and honking loudly, and all the things that he had learned from his other leaders, keeping the geese in line.
Yeah.
And there's a little vignette about each one. And as he thinks about that, then he's ready. He's getting ready now to be a good leader. And so he takes the geese up in the air, and they're making their V formation, and he starts honking and petting and pecking and strutting, and it's not working. And all of a sudden, he has a leader shift. He realizes, he looks back and realizes he's responsible for the success of these others, and these old power rules were old and didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns to them, and they have a hunkersation, which is my title conversations.
You only get this on the Small Business Advocate Show, folks. This, you don't get this anywhere else. Go ahead, Judith.
So a new language of leadership is born at that moment, and they come up with a strategy, and three geese break the line out into different directions, confuse the hunters who are trying to shoot at them, and, you know, of course, that's your crisis situation. And
right.
all of them live. And he spends the rest of his life going around the world sharing this secret with everybody.
And I'm going to get a copy of this DVD real soon, right?
You sure are. And,
okay.
And for those who want to use it, it's not only a DVD, it's got a workbook for leaders and coaches and consultants.
And is it ready to be delivered?
It is being cut this week. By the end of this week, it'll be ready to be delivered.
And we can find it at creatingwe.com?
You can go on my website. I'll give people my direct email address. You can order it. I have gotten the most raving reviews. I can't tell you. Even my little grandson, who's 2.5, sat and watched it for the first time. He said, Mommy, Mommy, again. It's for little ones, but it's mostly for the big ones.
Wow, that's a great story. I can't wait to hear about it. You'll have to tell us more about it in the future. Quickly,
Caring and candor.
1 minute. Go ahead.
Is the formula for the new leadership. It's not hard and soft. That's old thinking. It's not pink and blue. It's not men and women. It's not all that mushy stuff that we can't talk about. Candor and caring. When a leader is in candid conversations with people, people learn the truth. We have a vital gene for truth. When we get that, and then somebody says, I support you to get to this result, all of a sudden, the magic formula, it clicks us in and we grow. That's all leaders need to do every day to all their people, to nourish their environment and get the most amazing results.
You can be tough. You can be a tough manager. You can seek excellence. You can make people strive to be better as long as they know that you're telling them the truth and as long as they know that you actually do care about them.
That's it.
That's what you got to do. If you're going to be a tough guy, you got to be a caring guy.
Right.
I believe. Judith, thank you for being here. We're glad you're a survivor.
Oh, thank you so much. Great to be here.
Judith Glaser, ladies and gentlemen, the author of The DNA of Leadership. I told you we'd get smarter when Judith joined us. She'll be back. Judith, thank you for being here. Good job. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Okay.
Gotta go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.